Good morning. Brian of London here in the park. And there I am. I'm back. Brian of London here in my park in the middle of Tel Aviv. Bereshit Forest, as it is known. Mere yards or meters from the site of Eurovision Song Contest 2019 in Tel Aviv, which is over there. But I am surrounded by trees. And look, the nice man who gives me my coffee put two frozen strawberries in my water, which is very nice. And I'll have them after my, it's still espresso, but big cup. Good morning, it's two there. Yeah, well, so how was your week, everybody? This week, of course, here in Israel, we had our Memorial Day, Yom HaZikaron, which I broadcast from Gush Etzion, where I was at the gravesite where Ari Fuld is buried, and I went there for the ceremony, which is about an hour-long ceremony that starts with a two-minute siren and silence. Everybody stands still, and we actually had four F-16s, I think, fly over, coinciding exactly with the two-minute siren, which is pretty spectacular timing. I don't know how those guys do it, but I guess they're good at that stuff. And then in the evening of the Memorial Day, it flips over and becomes Yom HaTzmaut, and that's when there's fireworks everywhere. This year we didn't go out to see fireworks with my kids, but we went out afterwards and went to some friends, sat around, had some beers, that kind of stuff. Very pleasant. And then yesterday, which was Yom HaTzmaut itself, I cooked for my family an enormous leg of lamb on my barbecue, which was really quite a pleasure. And I just want to convey to you, or everywhere I go, all around, I'm seeing Israeli flags. There's a big balloon in the middle of the park, for example. And sometimes it's just white, sometimes it carries advertising. But right now, of course, it has a giant Israeli flag. It's a tethered balloon that you can go in, go up, look, come down. And we are not unproud of our nationalism. And the TV news last night was out in all the national parks, which are just full of people who do barbecues out in parks. And they were just sticking the microphone and the camera in front of people, and everybody is proud of Israel. That's what we are. We're allowed to be. And I feel really sick for Europe, where you're just told that being, you know, holding nationalist views is now somehow dangerous and not something to do, which is, it's just bullshit. There's healthy nationalism. You've got to take back your countries in Europe from the people who think that nationalism isn't healthy. And I think that's why on the left, the same globalist left that wants to destroy your nationalism, they're the ones who hate Israel. They hate us defending ourselves. They hate the idea of Israel because they hate that we are a modern national recreation of something much more ancient. So our nationalism is both 71 years old, as it was yesterday, and 3,000 years old because of our inherent ties to the land. The globalist left that's trying to destroy all of these national boundaries, no borders, no nations, everybody live in peace. John Lennon imagined the worst song ever. Those people hate Israel for the same reasons. And you've got to come here and see it one day. It's one of those things that I would recommend people. It's not like an overly tourist thing to do, to be here during Memorial Day and Independence Day. But I can absolutely guarantee you, it will just change the way you think about the entire world to see how we do the Memorial for Fallen. I mean, like at the memorial I was at, it's remote, it's Gush Etzion. There's a few hundred thousand people who live up there. All the schools bussed to that ceremony. There was, I don't know, 2,000 people there or something. Soldiers. It just an amazing feeling of coming together. And that is then joined immediately because of the proximity in time. You know, at 8 p.m. on the day of the Memorial Day, we switch over and everybody goes out, parties and fires fireworks in the air. The link is assured. So, and I'll move over onto Tommy, because obviously Tommy's been touring England this week, touring the forgotten and downtrodden parts of Northwest Britain. You know, these place names, and in fact, he was in Blackpool. I spent 9 months or 8 months, 8.5 months flying. I was a London management consultant. Every week I would get a plane to Manchester, and then I would drive from Manchester to Blackpool, and I spent this time in Blackpool during the winter. So Blackpool's a strange place, but Tommy got a great reception there. And I tell you what, who cares about the media? There's a very funny video that was posted on tr.news yesterday. It was sent to us by someone who called up the local Warrington Guardian, who'd written some dreadful piece about the guy who threw the milkshake. And just a fan of Tommy's, called the newspaper and spoke to, I think, the editor. And the editor's just like, yeah, we'll lie if we want to. It's up to us to say what we want to say. I don't care what else happened. It's not my job to tell the truth. It's my job to tell a narrative. And that describes the Blackpool, for people who don't know, if I've got Americans watching or stuff, Blackpool is like, it's, I can't even say Las Vegas on the sea, but it's like an unbelievably cheap version of Las Vegas on the sea in Northwest Britain. It's got a charm to it, and it is the seaside, but it is just a little, well, it was, you know, 10 years ago or so, 11 years ago, the last time I was there, a little bit run down, a little bit tired. I don't know if they've managed to tart it up a little bit since then, but, you know, it's real. I tell you, getting out of London, by the way, if you visit England or Britain and you just go to London, like I did with my family, but, you know, you do not have a clue what the country is like. Yeah, Reno, I think, would be. I've been to Reno one time in the winter, or not quite full winter. Reno, or I don't know, what's that Atlantic City like? I can't believe anywhere in America. Well, anyway, that's Blackpool. But that's, you know, Northern England. It is so good that Tommy is touring around up there, and I think he's getting a great reception. I have no idea what the numbers are like. I have no idea, because he has been scrubbed from social media. I mean, this thing where Avi Yemeni posts pictures with even Tommy's face blurred out, and Instagram just delete them immediately. This unpersoning of Tommy Robinson for perceived crimes. Now, way back in the day when the EDL was going, I had this ongoing dialogue through the press complaints authority with the editor back then of the Daily Mail. Because what I challenged them through the EDL, my name wasn't on this, but I got people at the EDL to submit a press complaint, and I masterminded. I saw the replies, and then I wrote replies to the replies. But my central point was, you're calling the EDL far right. What evidence do you have? And the first answer that came back from the editor was, well, everybody calls them far right. So I said, that's not good enough. You have to justify your terminology. Why do you call them far right? And the editor came back again with another answer saying, well, maybe this and maybe, but he had no solid evidence. He said that they're racist, and that, well, he went trying to find that they were racist and saw all the black people at the demos, and he saw black and Asian people speaking at their rallies. So racism didn't work. And none of those charges that would have landed them in the camp of the far right back then, okay, it's changed now, because absolutely everyone who isn't a far left progressive globalist is far right. I mean, we know that now, so we're all far right. So the editor eventually, I think we went backwards and forwards four times or something, through the mediation of the Press Complaints Authority, which is totally useless. In the end, he sent me back a letter that said, Tommy Robinson and the EDL's complaint is noted, and we will put a note on the file saying that they do not refer to themselves as far right, and that they will have to, if they use it again in the future, they'll have to say other people have called them far right. That was the, but it didn't, you know, it made no difference in the end, because there wasn't really enough power back then to fight it. And the trouble, and this is the way British libel laws and defamation works, is that once you've allowed something to establish itself in the consciousness, once you've been called far right and you didn't fight it, you're done. You are whatever they want to call you for the rest of time. Paul Joseph Watson, interestingly, might have a better claim with the dangerous thing. But even then, what the newspapers and what Facebook will do is they will point to all bad press that InfoWars has ever received as the justification for giving him this ridiculous and deceptive and libelous label. So that's what they'll do if he chooses to fight them. I mean, British libel laws are better in some respects than the American ones, but they're still absolutely awful for these kinds of things. And on to Facebook and censorship. I'm really liking Raheem Kassam and Will Chamberlain's Human Events. I really like what they're writing. Will Chamberlain and Raheem are both pursuing the mode that in America anyway, access to the major social network platforms, the ones that have become basically monopolies, or monopolies in their field, which is definitely Facebook, possibly Twitter, Google in some respects. Access to these things should be a civil right. The Americans have got a legislative system that could do that. They've got their First Amendment rights. Whether it will happen, I don't know. My approach is that, and I think this is the approach of one of the founders of Facebook, whose name I really wasn't familiar with, but he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, which he basically said, Facebook is just too dangerous to exist. Same as what I said. Facebook shouldn't exist. I don't believe that the concentration of power that it gives Mark Zuckerberg, because he's got 60% of the voting stock, it's almost impossible to get him out of that company. And I don't believe that there's a man or woman or any single person on earth who should be allowed the power that Facebook currently wields. Because we've all seen, Facebook can change not just your opinion, but your emotions, your feelings. They can make you happy during a day. They can make you sad. They can pump stuff. By choosing what goes in your newsfeed, if you're not wise to this, if you haven't shut down your account or had them deleted like I have, your moods are alterable by Facebook. And the concept that one man can dictatorially decide the mood of 270 million people, because even if not all of them are using Facebook, enough of your friends and family are using Facebook that if they all become depressed, for example, you will feel it, unless you're conscious of this. The only way is to be conscious of this power. And the same with the manipulation of news and opinions and what you get to hear about. It's too dangerous. Which brings me on to mention, finally, the lawsuit, the JPB Liberty lawsuit, which I plug all the time. Please do take a look at the links that I keep putting everywhere. It can now be crowdfunded. You can chip in as little as, I think, $20 or $50, and you will get a few tokens. You will get a cryptographic share if we ever win any money from these guys. But the point is not that this is not an investment scheme. I'm not pitching an investment scheme here. This is not a way to get rich. But we are talking to some angels. We will, I think, secure the funding to bring the case. And the point of the case is to fire a shot at Facebook especially, and Google too, that has a solid chance of doing them some actual financial damage that's bigger than anything any of the governments in the world are currently proposing. And to basically say to them, there's either this financial penalty or change your ways. If they could voluntarily sign up to a standard that access to their platforms was a civil right, then that would be better than government regulation, because that could in effect be worldwide rather than just imposed in America for the benefit of Americans. So there's lots of other alternatives, but the first thing is we have to raise, I think, $100,000 to actually to get the main thing we need is actually liability insurance, so that we bring the case, it does leave you open to have to pay their fees if you lose, and you can get insurance for that, which we can do, and we've priced up, and that's the first big cost. Anybody who can give a few thousand, contact me afterwards, Brian of London on Telegram, at Brian of London, just works, and Brian of London on Twitter, direct messages, and via my website, brianoflondon.me, all the links are on the side. There should be a fight. There's a fight in America. Lots of people are suing them for access. I don't know how good those suits are. I wish Laura Loomer and Gavin McInnes and Alex Jones and all these other people who, you know, I've met Gavin McInnes. I've watched lots of Alex Jones. I've watched everything Laura Loomer's done. These people are good people, solid people. Doesn't mean I agree with everything they've ever said or will say in the future. I don't care. They're good people. I draw the line at, you know, I don't deal with Holocaust deniers and outright Nazis and people who believe that Jews are doing them down and that all the world's ills are laid at the feet of Jews. I don't truck with that. None of those people. I will not say they should be banned, though, unless they're actively, you know, summoning acts of violence, because I've become a free speech extremist. I don't think we can have people like Laura Loomer, Gavin McInnes, Tommy Robinson, me in the public square if we don't allow those other nutters, because I'll challenge their views, I'll challenge their ideas all the time. Jim Jeffries couldn't be president. He could not be president of he couldn't be president of a feminist club, though he would try. That's the nature of the fight that we're in. We have to take everybody to a certain degree. And then we have to bomb the hell out of Hamas. That's the other one. All right, that's enough rambling on. I shall see you all the next time. Brian of London.me. Thanks for all joining. That's quite a good turnout today.